watching me.
This is Diane. Welcome to another episode of This Conversation Rocks.
With Todd in Los Angeles.
And I've got to tell you, I haven't done a very good job of resisting this week, so it wouldn't be fair to say I'm with the Alaskan resistance.
Yeah, well, again, I mean, you know, tip for the day, don't fly United.
Yeah, no kidding. And we'll get into that. So we want to talk about internet privacy.
I want to talk about privacy.
Privacy.
And then, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Because, you know, yes, the internet, of course, is
the big yeah.
Gorilla in the room and everything. But, yeah, the thing is that, you know, if we're paying attention, and, you know, you can be forgiven for not catching this in the midst of bombing the shit out of Syria and chemical attacks and.
Right.
But Congress repealed a Obama administration rule that would have restricted your ISPs from selling your personal data.
Okay, I totally went there. I'm totally on that. Yay. Yeah,
but so the first thing though to point out is that while the Trump administration and the Congress have backpedaled on this one, those rules had never gone into effect. So unfortunately, we're losing something that we didn't quite get in the first place.
So I'm going to give a little bit of backstory on that. It was March 28th, and the House voted with the Senate. That was kind of the vote that did it, was the March 28th vote in the House to overturn these regulations. And basically, it would have said that internet service providers have to get a consumer's permission before selling data like browsing history, location info, that kind of stuff.
Right.
And then Trump signed it into law on April 5th. So it's a relatively new development, and it's an overrule of legislation or regulations that were introduced in October last year.
Yeah. But you know, and this sucks, right? It sucks, and I don't know that anybody on either side of the aisle like has another opinion about this one issue, right? I mean, you know, it could be, but I haven't heard it for the most part, because basically everybody's like, yeah, this sucks.
So I have some data on that too, because I really needed to understand, right? So I did a bunch of reading, and now my brain is just scrambling because there's so much about just internet privacy, not even talking about just privacy in general.
Yeah.
But so what happened was the internet service providers said that basically they lost their competitive edge because places like Google and Facebook are regulated differently. They're regulated by the Federal Trade Commission, and the rules are a lot looser in terms of using people's data. And so the ISPs were saying, because the FCC is regulating us, we can't compete, and you need to get rid of this law. So basically, right, big lobby, big money, corporations once again won against us little guys.
Right. And no, that's exactly what happened, and it's going to continue to happen. But it really got my attention, because it's like, yeah, you know, we're living in the age of Big Brother. And I don't mean that, you know, and I don't, this is not our conspiracy episode.
Right.
That's last time. Or, you know.
Posting this is as just we the speak.
Way, yeah, posting as we speak. It's true. But just, this is the way things are going to be. Right? We are so interconnected. And your eyeballs are worth a lot of money, and there was always going to be a move to monetize your eyeballs. And the way they do it is by knowing who you are. Now, they don't, the advertisers are not like, oh, that's Diane Maythorn, and, you know, blah, 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 Willow, Alaska, you know, phone number, blah, blah. That's not what this is all about. But this is about, oh, this person on this phone seems to look at these sites, shop at these stores. You
Right.
know, and they can draw some amazingly accurate conclusions about you. And, you know, that all factors into ads that you're going to see.
So I found an article in U.S. News and World Report that interviewed a couple of guys about internet privacy, and there were a couple of things that play right into what you're saying that it just their quotes really struck me. One of the guys said, everything that touches a computer produces data, and your data moves around a lot. There's not much you can do to protect it because you're not holding your data. We're relying on the people who hold that data. And then one of them, another person who was interviewed for the article, said, in the post-Snowden area, there should, sorry, the post-Snowden era, there should be no illusions of the privacy of the internet. Which I mean, that
No.
was one of the things I wanted to say right from the get-go is that, especially after having the classic, I said some really stupid shit on Facebook and my employer found out experience myself, I just now I have no expectations of privacy.
Well, yeah, and the thing is that if you put it out there, this is something you hear them talk about in the porn industry. If you're gonna go do this, you have to assume that your uncle, your aunt, your next door neighbor is going to see it.
Right.
You know?
Blogging, podcasting, Facebooking.
Yeah. And you have to, you know, really try to keep things separate, you know, as much as possible.
I think the
Yeah.
other thing that's really challenging, though, and this goes back to what you're saying, is there are some things we just can't keep separate. You know, I mean, I freaking shop like crazy on Amazon because I live in a remote area and I can get stuff shipped to my PO box. So Amazon
Hey,
knows what my tastes are and they
yeah,
play to.
by the way, I live in the biggest metropolitan area in the entire fucking country, and I do all my shopping on Amazon too.
Right. So they know what to show you ads for when you sign in.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got to admit, I have fallen into the Facebook world of wow, that piece of jewelry is really gorgeous. I'm going to click on that and buy it. And now my Facebook ads are constantly things that I want, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, the first thing about privacy is, first of all, unless you're going to live off the grid, and then you won't be able to listen to this podcast, so please don't live off the grid. Is that, you know, you gotta just think about the information that you want to put out there. And one of the things that really strikes me is, of course, trying to keep things separate, but even that has some issues and everything. But yeah, you know, so you have to ask yourself, you know, you're on several social media platforms, but ask yourself, do you really use all those platforms, right? Maybe you don't need to be on all of them, or, you know, maybe you do, but, you know, you should really kind of give it some thought. And the thing to keep in mind is that people say that, oh, I've got nothing to hide. And it's not even necessarily about you. I was listening to a podcast called Note to Self. And a couple months ago, they did a whole big thing on privacy. And I really invite everybody to check it out because it's really cool. But, you know, the point they made is that, you know, yeah, maybe you don't have anything to hide. But understand that who you are and the profile you present allows them to make judgments and correlate what you're doing to what other people are doing and realize that that other person may be similar to you. And, you know, the great example they used is you might be an alcoholic or a recovering alcoholic and you might be okay with that. You know, and everybody knows that about you and everything and you don't care. But your behavior is the same as somebody who is not necessarily open about the fact that they're an alcoholic or recovering alcoholic. Yeah. So it's not just about any one of us anymore either.
It develops how we all interact on social media, or how we're all played on social media.
Social media. Exactly. Exactly. And the thing is that this, and I, again, really, note to self, check this thing out, the Privacy Paradox series, but Facebook has something like 52,000 ad categories they can put you in.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it's insane, right? It's totally insane, right? And the problem is, you can actually prevent people from seeing ads, right? Which it can actually get right into discrimination, housing discrimination, and other things that are totally illegal.
So I just read something about something very similar, which was a black person who goes on Facebook, or not Facebook, a black person who goes on certain internet sites, they're much more likely to see things about crime and, like, getting out of criminal charges, and
yeah,
they're likely to see ads like that. So stereotyping, right, just simply based on the fact that a person is one skin color versus another.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that's just crazy.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And, so, I mean, and that's exactly what you're talking about, is that this kind of targeted,
yeah,
media, social media, is discriminatory, or has the potential to be very discriminatory. Sorry, yes. I totally talked over you and stole your...
No, it's okay. It's okay. You know, so the biggest thing, that, you know, and this is... yes, there's lots of technical things you can do to restrict your computer from spying on you. I definitely want to point out that if you put one of those Alexa things in your house...
Ah! Okay.
Well, you're in for a wild ride.
I've got one.
Yeah, you know what? And it's listening to everything you say.
You know, and I understand that. I'm not sure what the ramifications of that are. I will tell you quite honestly, it's awfully freaking convenient when I'm sitting 10 feet away from Alexa and I tell her to play music by somebody or read my audiobook to me or...
Sure, sure. You know? Not saying otherwise, but I'm just saying that if you got one of those in your house... Google or Amazon, whoever you got it from, is totally now able to monitor everything you're saying.
I know. And, you know, it's a little bit scary. But at the same time, as I said a few minutes ago, I also have no expectation of privacy anymore. Maybe that's not it. Maybe I have no illusions about privacy anymore.
Yeah, you know, so I mean, and this is a value judgment for everybody, you know.
Like, right, how know, much I, is it worth
like,
to you?
I'm like never going to put one of those fucking things in my house, right? Ever.
Which means I will end up in the gulag before you.
Exactly. But, no, because the thing is that they're just going to take... And again, they're not spying on you, right? But you know, they're just going to take all that data and use it to target you even better for the next round of advertising.
Well, you know, and I have to say, I'm glad that you brought that up early, because that was one of the things that was really bugging me today while I was prepping for this, actually. So I very stupidly got online last night, and it would be really nice to refire our house. We've got a lot of equity in it after our fire and all of that, and it would just be nice to get our payment down. So I went on LendingTree and plug some information in. And when they got to, oh, and we want your social security number, I was like, eh, screw that. And I used a phone number that we have, but we don't answer. My phone rang off the freaking hook today.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Rang off the hook. I'm going to say that there were probably 8 phone calls throughout the day. And I had intentionally given them that number because I knew that they would probably call, even though I stopped the process mid-registration. Not only that, though, but because I use my computer to start the process, every freaking website I've gone to today has had an ad for LendingTree.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah. I bought some clothing from my wife off of Torrid.
And now every
I just
time
wanted to buy her some jeans.
And now every time you log in.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely completely aware of the Wonder Woman dress.
That's awesome.
It's kind of cute, you know. Would not be right for my wife. Or, you know, to be honest, unless you truly manage to pull the eccentric thing, not right for anybody in middle age.
Okay, Pete Lani, if you're listening, Pete Lani could totally pull it off because she's just cool.
Well, there you go. But, yeah, anyway.
So, you know, as someone who works in the industry, what do you recommend that we do to protect ourselves?
Well, I mean, first of all, I don't work in this industry, right?
Well, so you don't work in... Let's be clear. Todd is not a vampire soul-sucking internet ad person.
Right, but the thing is, I mean, like, I don't even work in the industry. I don't even, you know, because I support businesses and stuff. This is not something that we actually deal with a whole lot at the business, at the enterprise level.
Okay.
Right, because, you know, what we're worried about, what we focus on is, you know, our clients being able to do the work they need to do on a daily basis. You know, so, yeah, it's not like I've got this huge amount of technical answers, but, you know, it does start with, first and foremost, think about what you're doing. And, yeah, if you click on these ads, if you call LendingTree or whatever, you're just going to get bombarded forever and ever and ever. I tell you, I got a VA loan on my house, right? And every day, there's at least one lender calling and saying, hey, we can help you refinance, you know, and there's at least three offers in the mail every fucking day, you know?
That's maddening to me. But again, it goes back to, you know, this is so interconnected and it's such a huge part of our lives. That...
Well, and the truth of the matter is apparently having a VA loan is not something that is kept private.
Right.
It's not like I went out and told anybody that I have a VA loan, you know, and that, hey, contact me. I'd be more than willing to not talk to your dumbass about my refi options. Fuckers. But this stuff gets out there. I mean, and the thing is, this is innocuous stuff. It gets out there. It all gets out there, right? So you have to kind of think about what you want to present. And, yeah, I mean, you know, there is that whole thing about dissing your employer on your Facebook page is not a good thing. And the truth of the matter is, right, you apply for a job, most employers these days are like, yep, okay, Diane Maythorn Facebook profile. She's all right.
Yeah, hence the reason that some of us don't have profiles in our own names anymore.
Right.
That, and I don't want my current patients to be able to look me up.
Right. Yeah, you know what I mean? So, I mean, right there, right? You were actually taking some steps to maintain your privacy. You know, the instructor that was doing the class over the weekend that I was in, you know, he's like, hey, if you look me up on Facebook, I'm going to turn you down. You know, that's my personal stuff. You know, yeah. If you look me up on LinkedIn, I'm more than willing to connect up with you because that's what LinkedIn is for, professional stuff. I'm like, yeah, makes sense. Totally makes sense.
My rule after my experience at my last place of employment is don't friend people that you work with.
Yeah, again, you know, LinkedIn is where that stuff's at.
Yep.
You know. Yeah, don't friend people because, I mean, unless you truly are friends, right?
Right.
You know, unless you truly do go out with these people on a Friday night and get drunk together and everybody still feels good on Saturday morning, yeah, don't friend them.
That's actually a really good rubric because, you know, I do have people who, with whom I am tied professionally, who are my friends. They're my friends that I go out and have a margarita with. They're my friends that come over to my house and watch movies. You know, those people I want to have in my tight little circle, but yeah, the people that I go in and have friendly conversations with and leave at work, I need to leave them at work.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and it sounds like that's your advice for anyone who's kind of in that situation.
Yeah. And seriously, make your Facebook stuff as private as you can. Right. And there are plenty of articles on the web and stuff Turn on that privacy shit. Use it.
You know, right? Even with don't that,
be,
though.
Don't be the next person who gets canned from their teaching job because somebody found you drinking a beer. You know, even though you're totally over the age of 21 and it's your own goddamn business.
Well, and even the privacy settings on Facebook are not that private. I mean, that's another thing to be aware of.
Right.
Unless you set it so you're the only one who can see your posts, which isn't kind of defeats the purpose of Facebook. You know, you just have to be aware that they're not that private.
No, I agree. Right. You know, so.
So I was looking, just kind of looking at, I just Googled internet privacy issues, which of course now Google is going to sell that search to somebody. But
well, that one, don't worry about it. That one just went to the NSA. So
right on. Excellent. Well, you know, I was actually Skyping with my Buddhist teacher earlier today and we were having some connectivity issues and I was like, oh, well, that's either the NSA or... Anyway, so I found an article on Jezebel and they had a couple of pieces of advice. Start using VPNs. So,
yes,
again,
yeah,
talk to me about what that means, because I plead complete ignorance.
Okay, like virtual private network, right? That's what VPN stands for.
Okay.
But in the context of this, it's really what you're doing is that you're using a VPN tool to create a connection with some company who's providing the service, and then you're going out to the internet on the other side of that connection, right?
So you're using them as your conduit. You're not using your own personal identity on the internet as your conduit.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right. See, now the problem, the reason VPNs haven't been necessarily widely accepted, especially in the U.S., where we're not, because like Iran and places like that, right? Like VPNs are the thing, you know, because they
that
know.
That makes sense.
You know, but here they haven't been accepted necessarily because, you know what, there is a performance hit. But as bandwidth gets better and more available, it doesn't matter so much, right? You know.
So when I was surfing around, I found a couple of private VPN places, like ExpressVPN was one of the places that I stumbled across. And it looks like you pay a membership to use their VPN, but they also assert that they have a certain amount of privacy that you wouldn't have otherwise.
That's correct. That's correct. And, you know, VPN is the way to go. You know, no doubt about it. Yes, you're going to pay a little bit of a subscription for it, but it's okay. It's
now,
worth it.
Can you still access stuff like Facebook through the VPN, or do you have to do...
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because you're just going to go to Facebook.com, and then you're just going to sign in, right?
Okay.
What'll happen is it no longer necessarily automatically know who you are, you know, but no big deal.
So they'll stop showing me jewelry and t-shirts that I have to buy.
No, because once you sign in as you, that's a different thing.
Then they're going to totally know.
Yeah, they totally know. But what they won't know is when you're knocking on their door that it's you.
Ah, okay.
Right. You know, which, by the way, you know, the all browsers have the privacy mode and everything. That's really great if you're trying to keep the people in your house from knowing what you're looking at. And we'll assume it's because you want to take your kids to Disneyland without them knowing about it. but man, your ISP totally knows what you're looking at. Okay. Like, again, they're totally tracking it, you know? So the fact that you're not keeping your browser history is blank and everything that's not privacy. Unless, again, you're just trying to prevent your kids from knowing that you're scheduling a trip to Disneyland.
Okay.
So
next thing in Jezebel was limit permissions on apps. And it was funny, just before I came in, I was looking at something on my phone.
Oh, yeah.
And it said, it popped up with, allow photos to use your location. And I had just read that piece of advice, and I was like, no. Allow Apple to use your analytics, you know, to look at data that you're using on your phone. No.
Right.
So talk a little bit about that. I'm putting you on the spot because this was your topic, but it's really interesting to me. And you have more experience.
Every app that you load on your phone is an opportunity for somebody to get way more information about you than they need. Right. And you have to really ask yourself, what the hell does the flashlight app on my phone need access to my data? You know, because all you're supposed to do is just turn on the light, turn it off, turn it on, turn it off, right? But you know, all this stuff is designed, right, to capture data that, you know, want to get your access to your pictures, access to your contact list, you know, all this shit. Don't need it. So, you know, definitely try to turn this stuff off where you can. Ask yourself how much you really need the app. Is there another app out there that will do the same thing for you that is less intrusive? You know?
Are there good places to look for that information? Is there a good way to search for that kind of... like you were talking about...
Reddit boards.
Okay, you know, no, I'm just asking in all honesty. You were talking about that messaging app being more private than using like Apple messaging or text messaging.
Yeah, so yeah, we'll talk about that in a second too.
Okay.
But the app, so number one, think about what you're doing.
Right? Okay, so I have another point.
Number two.
Okay, go ahead.
Number two, you definitely should be looking at VPNs. Number three, you should be definitely looking at the apps, not just on your phone, right? But your apps on your tablet, your apps on your fucking computer, right? Because now everything's an app.
Right.
You know, Chrome's got an app for that too, you know? So, you know, really think about all this stuff, you know? Okay, next point.
Okay, so another thing that Jezebel's article said was make sure that you visit only secure HTTPS websites. So I'm assuming that the difference between an HTTP website and an HTTPS website is that the S means secure.
Yeah, it establishes a secure connection between you and the website. Now...
Which, that's not realistic, because most of the crap that I... Well, I shouldn't say most of the crap. I've never paid attention, but now I'm wondering how much of the stuff I look at is that secure connection versus...
Where you're really concerned about the secure connection is when you go to make a purchase, right? And, you know, and that's always been the thing before, was making sure that the purchase part was secure, right, online and everything. So, but now, you know, more and more websites are moving towards... secure websites from start to finish, you know, and it's a good idea. It's a good idea. But I'll be honest, my website, our website for this conversation rocks, doesn't.
It's not an HTTPS site.
No, nor is my company website at the moment. I'm going to be moving in that direction. But, you know, right now, I mean, honestly, my company website is a Yellow Page ad, mm-hmm. A really nice looking one, but that's what it is.
But it's not one where you're doing commerce.
No.
Which is the difference.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Google is secure now, right? You go to Google, it's HTTPS. Everybody's right. Going to get there. HTTP won't be a thing, you know, 5 more years or so. But yeah, you should definitely pay attention, right? Especially if you're on a commerce site.
Okay. That's good to know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of embarrassing because I feel like I'm a relatively intelligent person, but... There's stuff I definitely don't know and didn't know about things that you can do to protect yourself, even when you have no expectation or illusions about privacy on the internet.
Right. No, absolutely. This is the sad truth about all of it, right?
So I just wanted to share a couple of numbers with people. This is an older article. It was written in 2015, but here's some really interesting data from 2015, and I was just shocked by this. So at the point that this article was written, which was August of 2015, so far this year, 505 data breaches have targeted businesses, government agencies, and other institutions, exposing more than 139 million records, according to the Identity Theft Resource Center. The sheer number of hacks is evidence of how companies underestimate the threat of a data breach and how the government needs to procure software faster to keep up with the latest cybersecurity technology, says Bruce Schneiner, a fellow at Harvard University's Berkman Center for Internet and Society. The bigger problem reflected by the breaches, however, is that all of this user data is being stored in the first place.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I thought that was really interesting. I mean, not even all the way through a year and 505 breaches already.
Yeah. Oh, you know, yeah.
That's like 2 breaches a day. Big breaches.
Yeah. And it's way worse than that.
Yeah. And we're not even talking about little hacking stuff. We're talking about big stuff.
Which, by the way, don't ever allow a website to store your credit card.
Oh, God.
Because that website's going to eventually get hacked, and then your credit card's going to be out there in the wild.
Okay, now I'm feeling really stupid, because I've done that with a couple of sites.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
We all have. And you know, get a credit card that you only use for your web purchases and stuff. You know, that's another way to go with it too, right?
So if something goes wrong, you're able to cut that off really fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't use your debit card.
I'm having that gulp moment again. So I have a question for you. What do you think about PayPal and its level of security? Because I do a lot of stuff through PayPal. And I'm sure there are people who listen to us who do as well.
Right, again.
Not talking about the politics of PayPal, because that's totally separate.
No, but it seems to be okay, right? But, you know, you just have to assume that they're going to get breached someday. It's not a slam on them.
Right.
Someday somebody's going to figure out a way in, right?
Because it seems like that happens with any service.
Right, because they're huge, because they are a ripe target.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, just be aware, right?
So this is not in the Jezebel article, but pay attention to the media. Pay attention to things where there's a big announcement of a hack or a data theft.
Yeah, you know.
And because you need to know what your risk is.
Again, yeah, and again, this is kind of moving away from privacy to more security, but look, you know, change your passwords. Change your passwords.
Yeah.
You know, come up with, you know, passwords that you don't, you know, figure out what your most secure stuff needs to be. Bank accounts, right? Don't use the same password there that you do for other things. You know, it's just that kind of thought process. And on the security thing, definitely look at getting a password program, you know, that will actually encrypt and store your passwords and stuff, right? So that you can actually have different passwords at all your sites without having to think about it too much.
And so, you know, Apple offers that. I'm wondering how safe that is.
You know, it's as good as anything, right? Yeah. Until the day it's not.
You know, I think that's a really reasonable answer, because I'm the one who was going on and on about not having an expectation of privacy, but you're exactly right. It's as secure as it's going to be until it's not.
Yeah. You know.
So I actually have some good news going back to the Congress and going back to them overturning the privacy regulations that were voted in last fall.
Yeah.
So first of all, the thing that was a little scary is that I read this article that NPR had posted about the vote that confirmed it and sent it to Trump for signature. And they said it was overturned by the Congressional Review Act, which basically means it can't be restored by the FCC in the future. So by being overturned in this way, we've kind of lost the ability for the feds to legislate that again in that way. But today, just so happens, on NPR, there was an article about responses that states are having to this particular piece of legislation. So it turns out that it's turning into kind of a states' rights thing. So I just wanted to share this. There's a State House Democrat in Washington State. His name is Drew Hansen, and he is introducing a piece of legislation into state law that basically mimics what they were trying to do with those FCC rules last fall.
Yep.
And it turns out that there are right now three other states that are doing the same thing: Maryland, Minnesota, and Illinois. And NPR interviewed a bunch of different experts in our data and in internet law, and they basically said, and this was the kind of disappointing part of the article, they said that yes, there's no conflict of interest, the states can definitely do it, but states that enact that kind of legislation can expect lawsuits from the feds. And they said that ultimately, in some way, shape, or form, either the Congress or the FCC is going to have to look at this issue again and settle it.
Yeah. So.
So, I mean, it looks like there's some hope on the horizon, but it's not the final answer.
No. Not by a long shot, you know. Not by a long shot. So, and then your text messaging app, stop using that now. move over to Signal. It's the only actual one I'm going to recommend tonight. The only actual platform I'm going to recommend.
Okay, so I have a personal question about Signal. I tried to register for it today, and it doesn't recognize phone numbers in Alaska.
No shit.
It's trying to assign me an identity in Washington State.
Huh. Well, isn't that even better for your own privacy?
You know, yes and no. I just thought it was really interesting. I didn't proceed with it because I wanted to see what you had to say about it tonight.
I hadn't heard that, but, you know. So the thing with Signal is that so if you're sending text messages to somebody else using Signal, it's encrypted all the way, right? So it can't be intercepted, you know, it can't be stored.
And it basically gives you a fake phone number, right?
You can definitely do that if you want to use it for calling and things. Yeah, you can do encrypted calling over it, which is the next thing that we'll talk about at some point in the near future. But mainly, I just like it because it works. Now I just got to figure out how to... What I want to say is, you know, the problem with the phones, right, is particularly Android phones. They come with all this shit that gets put on by the vendor. And I'm not talking about Google. I'm talking about, you know, you go to Verizon. And they put all this shit in there. Not all of it you can turn off, right?
Oh.
So.
I'm sure that I'm a victim of the same thing at the hands of Apple. It's just different stuff.
Mm-hmm. There's a reason why everybody tries to, you know, jailbreak their phones and everything, right? There's a legitimate reason for it. And that's because, you know, you want to get rid of all the shit that's spying on you.
Right. That right now is showing me today's mortgage rates on LendingTree.
Exactly.
I'm not kidding you.
Exactly. So
there was, oh my gosh, we've talked for a bit. There was another thing that I wanted to mention to folks, because this is a site that I bookmarked and that I'm going to dive into further. So the ACLU actually has a whole section on privacy and technology and internet privacy. I found that tonight while I was going through and looking for stuff. And they've got articles and copies of legislation, and it's pretty interesting. So if you go to the ACLU and just search for internet privacy, you should be able to find the information that it's got out there.
Yeah, and again, I mean, I'm not trying to scare anybody. This is just the way it is, right? So what you can do is just figure out where you want to be in all of this. You know, if you want to take some steps to limit your presence, great. If you want to let it all hang out there, great.
But be aware of what that cost is. I mean, right. I unfortunately was not very cautious on Facebook at one point in time, and the costs were high. I mean, I didn't get fired from a job, but it created a lot of heartache for me.
Yeah, it did.
And I just would really encourage people to not go there.
Exactly.
This was a really interesting discussion.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, we'll do more of this in the future, I'm sure.
Is there anything else that you want to say about privacy or internet privacy tonight that I talked over or that we haven't gotten to?
No, I think I've said a lot of what I wanted to say.
Well, then I have our first fuck that guy in a long time, and you brought it up at the beginning of the show. It's United Airlines. If you're living under a rock, which by the time you hear this, it'll probably be something totally different that's taken our fancy.
unfortunately, by the time you hear this, it will become yet another quaint news story about how life used to be better.
Right. But basically, so United Airlines overbooked on a flight, and they ended up physically hauling a man off of a flight today.
They beat him unconscious and then
hauled him off of the flight. I mean, you can see this guy being dragged bloody off of this flight because he basically said, look, I'm a doctor. I'm not giving up my seat. Someone else is going to have to opt to give up their seat. But basically what happened is United was like, okay, so people have to volunteer. And a couple of people volunteered. They needed four volunteers to get off the plane.
No, they didn't. Actually, nobody volunteered. Nobody actually volunteered, so then they started randomly kicking people off.
Because it said something that a couple of people agreed, but maybe it was after they were, quote, randomly chosen.
Right, they were randomly chosen for reaccommodation.
So this guy was like, no, you can't randomly boot me off the plane because I've got this ticket. I have to be where I have to be. I'm not going. And so they called the police, and this guy got the crap beat out of him by police officers and hauled off this plane. And here's the awful thing. I mean, never mind that, first of all, this dude just got bodily hauled off a plane for which he had an appropriate ticket, but he can now be blocked from flying because of this incident.
Oh, sure. Yeah. The lawsuit, though, against United Airlines should be substantial.
Please to God. That's what I have to say.
Yeah.
Please to God, because I just think this is horrible.
And if you've got a choice, take another airline on your next flight.
Yeah, boy, I'm here to tell you that Alaska Airlines has really good customer service.
Yeah, well, but they're not a national, they're a
But they
regional.
actually have a, no, they're moving beyond regional. They have a lot of national flights.
Oh, sure, but I'm sorry, but they weren't going to get you from Chicago to Charlottesville.
Right. I mean, it's not perfect, but boy, if you can do
Yeah.
business with Alaska, do business with Alaska because they're great.
That's fair. That is fair.
Now I'm trying to find the article. I did find a good article on Huffington Post that talked about this. And of course, now I can't find it.
Well, the thing to keep in mind is that the airlines can, in fact, remove you at any time for almost any reason. That does include the fact that they overbooked the plane and they've decided to kick some people off, right? They do actually have the right to do that. However, we all also have the right to not fly United ever again. So, there should be consequences for their actions.
Ah, here's the article. And I agree. And the consequence for their action that we can all engage in as consumers is exactly what we're saying, not fly United
Right.
and not give United our business. I mean, I will definitely look for a different airline if I fly anywhere outside of Alaska Airlines offering.
Yep.
So this said, apart from the PR nightmare, this outrage may also result in changes in federal law that could avoid a repeat of this sorry episode. Right now, as Huffington Post reported earlier, airlines are required by federal law to compensate passengers up to 400% of their ticket price, up to a total of $1,350, if they're delayed by more than 2 hours by being involuntarily bumped from an overbooked flight.
Yeah.
In most cases of overbooking, the agent asks for volunteers and then starts offering various levels of compensation to entice people. As a United frequent flyer, I don't think I've ever seen compensation go over $800, although they're supposed to tell passengers what they are actually entitled to. The sure way to avoid these problems in the future is to offer volunteers increasing amounts of compensation until they get enough takers with no limit. The federal law should be amended to require this change. So this is a good article on Huffington Post. It's called Change Federal Law on Bumping Passengers to Avoid a Repeat of the United Outrage. The other info that I wanted to share from this article was they talked about some of the different airlines that are better airlines to fly. So they said it's worth knowing that different airlines have very different rates of bumped passengers. United, for example, has a bump rate that is 21 times higher than the airline with the lowest bump rate, which is Hawaiian Airlines. Other airlines with low bump rates include JetBlue, Virgin America. Delta actually has a bump rate 30 times that of Hawaiian. So if you move your patronage from United to Delta, you'll actually be jumping out of the frying pan into the fire.
Yeah. Well, the problem is the international carriers, the big ones, and that's United, American, and Delta, are all pretty much the
I was going to say, and of course they don't mention American in this article, so
same.
I'm sure you
They
could
got lucky.
Google bump rate.
Yeah, they got lucky.
Yeah. But anyway, I was horrified, so I really
Yeah,
felt
well,
like it.
here's the other thing too, right? There is nothing that would have prevented United from offering more money. Right. By federal law, they only have to offer X amount, right, before they can start kicking people. But the truth of the matter is, they could have offered more money.
They could have, and they could have avoided this whole unsightly mess. Because there's
Yep.
definitely someone who would have said, okay, I've got a day's leeway. I can take $1,300 and a night at a hotel, you
Right.
know?
And the other thing is that Yeah, no, sorry. I'm gonna just go with fuck United.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Never mind.
I mean,
Fuck
as
United.
people who, you know, I mean, in Alaska, you have to fly if you're going anywhere. You fly a lot because of your business. As people who are dependent on airlines for things like that, as most Americans are anymore, we've got to vote with our feet in this one.
Yeah. Yeah, fuck these guys, man.
Fuck these guys. Fuck United Airlines. That's, I agree, man. I do have a hall of honorable mention, though, because I do want to try to end things on a positive note every time we talk.
Very good. Let's do that.
So it's National Siblings Day. And I just wanted to say to my little sister, Marnell, who I know listens, till the end of the world, little sister.
My brother doesn't listen.
Should we honor him on National Siblings Day anyway?
Yeah. He's pretty good. Yeah, of course. He's a pretty good guy. I like him.
You're not going to say till the end of the world, but he's a pretty good guy.
Yeah, I like him. All right. Well, hey, there you go. Happy Siblings Day.
And I have a Neil quote to send us out on.
Yeah, let's do this.
All right. I thought this was great. It doesn't necessarily relate to anything we talked about today, but you're alive. That means you have infinite potential. You can do anything, make anything, dream anything. If you change the world will change.
Yep. Yeah, that's a good one to go out on. I like
yeah,
that one.
I thought we needed some hope.
We needed some hope, definitely. All right, my dear, I got to run back to work. So.
All right, everybody have a good week. We're probably going to podcast again in 2 weeks, and we'll get this edited and posted. Thank you. Good night.
Good night. I don't know anymore. Other neighbors watching me.